Welcome to ION Innovation, brought to you by the OAS Podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Powers. Today, we are at the OAS Conference here in beautiful downtown San Diego. And today, we'll be discussing maximizing the value of your board of directors. And I have two distinguished guests with me today who couldn't be more qualified to speak on this subject. First, we have Dr. Adrienne Graves, former CEO of Santen. She's also on the board of directors for Nycox, Ocular Therapeutics, Invasc, Opus Genetics, Surface Ophthalmics, Jell-EC, Implant Data, and Qlaris. And until its recent acquisition, she was chairman of the board for Iveric Bio. Welcome to the OAS Podcast, Adrienne.
Thanks, Carrie. Great to be here.
Our second guest is Dr. Barbara Worosko, Chief Medical Officer and co-founder of Qlaris Bio, co-founder and medical advisor of My Eyes, and clinical adjunct professor for the University of Utah Moran Eye Center. She also served as Global Senior Medical Director for Pfizer and co-founder and Chief Medical Officer for Jade Therapeutics, which was acquired by the publicly traded iGate, where she also served as Chief Medical Advisor and sat on the Board of Directors. Thank Welcome, you. Dr. Worosko.
Thank you, Carrie. It's a pleasure.
Wonderful to have you both here. So we're here at OAS with a room full of CEOs over here, founders of emerging biotech companies, and certainly they would be very interested in this subject, as would our listeners at home, for how to really maximize the value of your board of directors. So I think a great place for us to start is how you go about building the right board of directors. So Dr. Worosko, let's start with you.
So thank you. You know, I think a lot of it really depends when I've built my boards, is where is the company at? So when I came onto iGate, it was already a publicly traded company. We were in phase three. We were also in early development with a corneal wound repair. And you needed to think about who was gonna help you strategically, but also commercially. Versus Qlaris, where Adrienne's on the board, which is a very early stage. We in-licensed a compound in glaucoma from Mayo, and we really built the board from the ground up. But very different, because we needed to think about where was the value, but also introduction to other investors, strategics, and even around early preclinical work. You know, if we needed advice on just getting, you know, into an IND. So you really rely on the board to help and support you, at least when I've been, you know, in a C-suite position. And on the flip side, when I'm on a board, I want to be able to help that board at the right time of their life cycle.
Yeah, great points, Barb. And as Carrie mentioned, I serve on public boards and private boards, and the makeup can be very different, and choice of people can be very different. So on private boards, typically investors have board seats, and especially at early stages of private companies. And in those situations, it's really very important to have an independent board member. So it's very typical. And I've been the sole independent director on a number of private boards, including Qlaris. And I think it's really important for that independent board member to be truly independent in a lot of ways, to be willing to speak up, because it's important to have more than just the investor's viewpoint. And I have been on a private board where there were a number of investors whose funds were at different stages. And so their viewpoints and the decisions they wanted to make were sometimes very dependent on where their funds were. And so it's really important to have an independent on private boards. And you want somebody who's willing to speak their mind too. So, and I've really enjoyed being on the private company boards that I'm on. And you have different challenges in terms of even starting, growing, this day and age financing. But it can, I really enjoy the private boards that I'm on. The public boards that I'm on, well, I also love the public boards that I'm on. I guess I really like being on boards because I think the most important thing for every board, public and private, and this is pretty obvious, it's diversity. Mm-hmm. And it's diversity of thought that matters because you can't make the best decisions, obviously, when everyone thinks the same. And where does diversity of thought come from? Well, it certainly comes from, you definitely need on boards a different skill sets and backgrounds that can contribute to the conversation. So financial in our field, clinical, regulatory, it's very important to have, you know, top finance people, of course. So you need certainly a diversity of background. And you need other kinds of diversity, both ethnic diversity, all other kinds of diversity of backgrounds are truly important because you need that combination of viewpoints to make the best decisions. And it makes for the most interesting boards to be on as well. And you know, I've truly loved the interactions. I love feeling like a truly a part of a team. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful after being a CEO to be able to actually have time to focus on strategy and strategic issues, which everyone thinks that CEOs spend their time thinking about, but you're dealing with so many other things, putting out fires, that you don't have the luxury of really focusing on that as much as you would love to.
That's fantastic. Adrian brings up a really good point because when you're an entrepreneur, and when I've started and founded companies, a lot of times you don't have a choice, right, on who's going to be on your board because inevitably it's your investors. So when you do, and I've done this myself, is when I meet with investors and potential, you know, VCs or seed family, think about the makeup of that financial group. Think about, ask, who will be on the board? Mm-hmm. Who would you put on the board? Because I think it really is important that everybody on the board has a equal voice.
Yes.
And people do share their ideas. So as you're building that board, think about the composite. And a lot of times too, you don't necessarily need someone with domain expertise. And I think to your diversity point, you can get a lot out of bringing somebody in from even a different therapeutic area, mm-hmm. outside of ophthalmology, mm-hmm. that brings a different perspective, yep. that can really add value.
That's true. Although I will say, pretty much every ophthalmic board that I've been on does have clinicians, does have, mm-hmm. ophthalmologists on the board, and they can be very helpful. Now, you don't need five ophthalmologists, exactly. on a board, uh-huh. but it's extremely important. And I might add, a lot of private companies, the CEOs are ophthalmologists, yep. because the founding CEOs, because they're the ones that are, you know, they've been in the clinic, they see the clinical, they see the needs, they see the unmet needs, they, you know, want to take better care of their patients, and that's where a lot of the innovation comes from.
Yeah, it's very true. It's really understanding the unmet need. And even when I've sat on boards, on public boards for various companies, you really do try to lend your area of expertise and what you understand, but also raise the questions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing too, is, you know, everyone is not gonna be able to understand and know all the answers, mm-hmm. but you can always raise the question. And I think that's another thing I've relied on my board members for, and I've tried to contribute as a board member.
Mm-hmm.
the point you made about different domain expertise, I think is really good. Because I think we think so much about, oh, deep ophthalmology experience is what we need. And of course, that is important. But that actually was raised on the commercial panel yesterday as being a really important factor in a great commercial strategy, is making sure that you've thought about this from every angle. So. Yeah.
And I will add one other thing. Every board that I've been on has a different sort of chemistry. Uh-huh. And I think if you're looking to join a board, it's really important to talk to everyone on the board and in addition to some of the senior management, to really, it's hard to get a complete feel for what it's going to be like, but you can really get a sense of how the board works together, or not. And but I have been very fortunate to be on boards that have been very collaborative, but also able to speak up with different points of view, which is really, really important on boards.
That is a really good point, Adrian. Just thinking about who you're going to be working with, on both ends. So when I think about it as a C-level executive, who are my board and can they provide the expertise, but also can I work with them?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have good times and bad, and there's going to be struggles, and you're going to be challenged as a management team, but you also need that board there to support you. Not only make the introductions, but also support you.
And at this point in my life, and I've been in ophthalmology for quite some time, I only work with people that I like. It's true. And fortunately, the people I like are, creme de la creme in ophthalmology, and just happen to be wonderful people too. But I don't need to take another board seat, so I pretty much only work with people that I really enjoy being around.
It's a great position to be in.
Yes,
to be able
I agree.
To be selective. I love that.
That's my goal. Adrian's my mentor.
I think that's all of our goal. We all want to be Adrian.
Oh dear.
<what? laughs> So what do you think are the biggest mistakes that you see CEOs make in selecting their board?
I guess I could start. So one thing I've seen is not really thinking about, again, it's so important, as I said in the beginning, is to think about where your company is at and what's the help you need.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you're very early on, you may have somebody with more preclinical tox, early development expertise. But when you're about to launch, that person really is not bringing value at that point on your board. And I think that's the other mistake I've seen too, is people stay on boards. I've seen the CEO be in a position where the board really cannot help him. The board is almost there just as a dinner date, and he presents, but I see the CEO struggling because the makeup of the board is no longer what he needs to move the company forward. And that's a challenge.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do in that situation?
I think it's some of those honest, hard conversations. Mm-hmm. You'd hope at that point the board members would say, look, we need to rethink the board. Or maybe it's time I step off the board. But it's a tough decision.
It's challenging. On boards, it's pretty hard to vote somebody off the island. And it's pretty rare that people volunteer to step off.
Yeah.
So it can be a challenging situation. And in terms of CEOs, picking board members, I was on a board where the CEO picked a new board member who he knew very well, and it was a person in the financial community and very highly thought of, wonderful to be around, nice personality. But what he didn't know and what none of the rest of us knew was that this new board member spent all his time in board meetings going over his personal papers and...
Oh my goodness.
Not even kidding.
Wow.
And every now and then he would pipe up with a surprisingly good point, but given the fact that he was not really focusing on what we were discussing.
Wow.
But sometimes you don't know that someone's not going to be a good fit, even if you know them, until you see how they do interact.
Right.
But fortunately, in my experience, that has been extremely rare.
Uh-huh. That's great. Okay, very good. All right, so what advice do you have for CEOs on how to properly prepare for a board meeting?
So I know we both have some comments on this. I think it's really, really important that the CEO continues to bring the board along.
Uh-huh.
So although you have a board meeting maybe a few times a year, that board is your extension of your management team.
Uh-huh.
And they're your advisors. They're invested in you financially, emotionally, and they're there to help. And I really think you have to have those frequent conversations. I mean, Adrian and I are always talking and meeting and speaking and I bounce things off of her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a value add, not only because we've grown to be friends, but I really count on her judgment.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's really important for CEOs and CMOs mm-hmm. to have that relationship.
Yeah, and it's so helpful for board members to, sort of to be able to keep up with what's going on with the company, not just in a tiny slice of time for the board meeting. It's also really helpful. I know all board members say this, but I know it's not easy. It's very helpful to get board books
yes.
more than a day in advance because there's usually a lot to go over.
Right.
But I know it can be difficult because the things change and CEOs and their teams want to give board members the most up-to-date materials. But it can be really helpful to be able to, really delve into things before the board meeting. And as Barb says, it can be just extremely helpful to stay in touch with the board all along, so that you don't try to play. Board members don't have to play catch up just right before the board meeting.
And I think the other thing too, and I mean, Adrienne's a perfect example. She's on numerous boards, and I think you do have to have a little bit of a catch up. You don't need to, review. It's not a year in a review, but just give an update from where things were from the last board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, they may not be specific. They may have forgotten some of the minutia or the
mm-hmm.
details.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a 30-patient study or a 50-patient study?
Uh-huh.
Is it 5 sites? Is it 8 sites? Just some of the details that, because they're not living it every day like you are as the management team, just catch them up, give a review.
And Barb and Thorain, the CEO of Qlaris, are very, very good at that. And so I do feel very much a part of things. Yeah.
So I think we have time for just one more question. So that's just a really nice segue. To what extent should the CEO involve the leadership team in the board meetings and in between communication?
I think it's extremely important. And most of the boards that I've been on do include the key senior management people in board meetings and certainly encourage the board to have access to them. I've only been on one board, it was a public company, where the CEO actually did not want us to even talk to the senior management team. It was very odd. It was a control issue. I think very counterproductive. The best CEOs that I've worked with, and I've worked with quite a few, encourage it, and it really, it's very helpful for board members to really hear from the people that are over the major functions, and to know about their challenges, to just hear their perspectives,
mm-hmm.
And it's just a win-win all around, and it really helps the management team too, and they actually see it as a very positive thing to be able to interact with the board. So it's helpful for the board, it's helpful for senior management. I don't see why you wouldn't want to do it. I mean, there are always board-only discussions, and that's important too, but I really love to be able to know and interact with the senior management team.
And even so, the companies where I've now been, you know, CMO at several, and we've always had our whole team, and granted they've been smaller teams, but we've had each line present and at least sit in on, you know, the overview of the company when we're presenting it to the board. And I think it is really important. And I think for my team, you know, the people that are reporting into me, they now feel more part of the company, that they're valued, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have not a seat at the table, but in a way they do have a seat at the table. They're in on a very, very important meetings that really influence their job, mm-hmm. right? So it is. I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think so too. And the one caveat is that you have to be able to limit the amount of time that the senior management is presenting, because you can't have, board meetings shouldn't be just a review of what's happened. There needs to be enough time for the board to have strategic discussions.
Yes.
So that would be my only caveat, but in general, I think it's a very positive thing.
Super valuable information. That was really practical, and I'm sure we've got a room full of people here that can't wait to listen. So thank you both very much for taking time to talk to me today and to offer these insights.
Thank you, Carrie. You're wonderful, and another plug for OIS. I love this meeting.
Yeah, this has really been great. Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah, thanks, Barb.
Well, that wraps up this episode of Eye on Innovation from the OAS podcast. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. If you have ideas on topics for a future episode, please email us at oas@healthagy.com. I'm your host, Carrie Powers. We'll see you next time.